the law assumed sermon, the gospel afterthought sermon, the God loves you anyway sermon. I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. I guess it was bound to happen with all of the natural disasters that have unfolded recently here in the United States. And then they were all kind of predicated by a, or at least preceded by a total solar eclipse across the United States, that the prophecy buffs, the sign watchers, the prognosticators would kick into full gear. And sooner or later, one of them was going to tell us that these are signs of the end, and maybe there are more to come. Joining us to talk about some of those prognosticators and the latest that's making the rounds, that is that on the 23rd of September, a sign is going to appear and signal either the end of the world or the beginning of the end of the world. This week in Pop American Christianity, Signs in the Heavens, Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
I see you posted earlier today in social media that you have survived how many apocalypses yet in the last couple of years?
I count 12 at this point. This is my 13th apocalypse, and I've come through all of them unscathed so far.
How do you do that? How do you survive the apocalypse?
Well, it's my special pirate skills that I have that that makes me like resilient when it comes to apocalypses.
And there's another one apparently looming within about less than 24 hours from now, according to some in Pop American Evangelicalism. You brought a couple examples of, let's just call it the September 23rd prediction, for lack of a better word. How would you introduce us to this?
All right, so it's a wee bit on the complicated side because it involves astrology, of all things, and so the prophetic YouTube channels, and which are really popular. I mean, these prophecy YouTube channels, I mean, they have hundreds of thousands of subscribers, many of them do. And they are all, have been for a while now, saying that Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, is going to be fulfilled on September 23rd at noon in Jerusalem. And I'm going to let the first soundbite kind of explain what's supposed to go down. And this is from the Prophetic Warning TV YouTube channel.
The great sign in heaven of Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Jesus calls such events fearful sights and great signs from heaven. The great sign from heaven will be the largest sign that has ever heralded a prophetic event. We are on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It is 3 in the morning on September 23rd, 2017. The first constellation and the great sign is rising above the horizon. This is Leo, the constellation of the Royal Lion. When the dawn breaks, we'll see that Leo is worn as a crown of royalty by the Virgin Princess. The lion forms the appropriate crown for her because she is of the house of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Significantly, this is the highest royal lineage of all the nations. This means the virgin is also born of the lineage of the high scepter of the seed of Adam. In her belly is the second Adam, the savior of the world. On this fateful day, the virgin is clothed in the sun and the moon is at her feet. Sunlight floods the sky, and since the Virgin is clothed in the sun, we cannot see her, so we turn off her artwork. But the prophecy clearly states that the great sign is to appear in the heaven. High noon approaches. Then, on this special day, the sun turns as black as sackcloth, and the stars quickly fill the sky. Just like on the day of the crucifixion, it will remain dark for an incredible 3 hours. Now we move to Virgo. Her left hip is formed by the alpha star named Spica, which means the seed. Her right hip is formed by the zeta star named Hez, which means the branch. On this day, the virgin is to give birth to the king planet between these two stars. Like all the planets, Jupiter, which images the Messiah, was misnamed and misdescribed by the Greeks. The king planet images the rescuing power of our Messiah. Because of this planet's gravitational strength, it takes countless hits or impacts for us from many of the dangerous objects that cross into the inner solar system. Also, the king planet has just spent 9 months in the belly of the Virgin, reinforcing the prophetic imagery of the scriptures.
Okay, you said astrology there, and that's pretty astrological, isn't it?
Yeah, so to kind of summarize what it is that we've heard there, according to the Prophecy YouTube channels, and again, these things are well followed, and there are a lot of Christians in evangelicalism, and especially in the NAR, who have bought into this. They believe that because Jupiter has spent the last 9 months technically within the belly of the constellation Virgo, that on September 23rd, that Jupiter is going to travel down the birth canal of the constellation Virgo. And at noon, this great sign of Revelation 12 is going to appear. And at least the way the Prophetic Warning TV YouTube channel explains it, tomorrow at noon Jerusalem time, the sun is literally going to be darkened for 3 days so that the world can see Jupiter pop out of Virgo and thus fulfilling Revelation 12, 1 and 2.
So this is an odd combination of things here, isn't it? Because, I mean, even kind of a cursory knowledge of history and of perhaps kind of ancient astrology would indicate that, you know, not all the constellations are counted by every culture and every time as the same thing. It'll configure them all. This is really kind of reading back into biblical prophecy, things that have nothing whatsoever to do with the Bible.
Yeah, this is a strange mixing, if you would, you know, of astrological, you know, quackery with biblical prophecy. I mean, to say this is a stretch, I mean, you know, is like, you know, like doesn't even come close to explaining what's going on here. And when we do proper exegesis on Revelation chapter 12 and we pay attention to the context, you realize that there's like no way to actually come up with this interpretation. Let me explain. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle John is already presently in heaven. If you remember at the end of the letters, the letter portion of the book of Revelation, he hears a voice from heaven saying, come up here, and he comes up there. I mean, he's in heaven, and he's presently there. And here's what it says, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head was a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Now, important note here, if you read the book of Revelation, it is chock full of symbolic word pictures. And if you're trying to figure out a good way to kind of decipher these and what they mean, number one, you're going to need to have a very good understanding of the Old Testament. But there is a wonderful resource available online. If you're familiar with iTunes University, the sainted Lewis Brighton, who was an expert in the book of Revelation, his seminary lectures are available in iTunes University. If you want to listen to them, it'll give you a good exegetical approach to approaching these things. But coming back to my exegesis here, the heaven referred to here, Uranus, is singular, and it's referring to the place where John was at the time, and the great sign appeared. It doesn't say it will appear. The word for appear, orao, is in the aorist, which means it's already taken place. What all of these prognosticators are doing are changing the meaning of heaven to mean outer space, and they say that this is a sign that will appear. But no, just pay attention to your grammar. It's referring to the place where John was, and it's in the aorist, which means it's already taken place. This is not some future thing that we need to be looking for.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. He has a couple more examples on the other side of the break. We're talking about claimed signs in the heaven for September 23rd. That is tomorrow. And we're talking about it during This Week in Pop American Christianity here on Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about predicted signs in the heaven for September 23rd. Chris, you brought another example of this kind of prophetic kind of connecting the dots.
Yeah. So in evangelicalism, they have a over fascination with the end times. And so this is another very famous YouTube prophecy guy, Steve Siacalanti. And listen to the kind of expectation that he gives without actually setting a date. But watch what he does.
Let's map it out. You know that we've talked about the four blood moons plus the other two eclipses. All right. The four blood moons started on Passover, 15th of April, 2014. And 2 days before this great sign of the woman in the sky, clothed with the sun in her hair, the moon at her feet, 12 garland of 12 stars by her head, right? 2 days before that is the Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets is, we just learned, prophetically, the next thing Jesus will fulfill. He fulfilled four feasts. The next feast, the fifth feast, he must fulfill. The next event should be the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the saints. So if it were to happen, it should happen on the Feast of Trumpets. Next Feast of Trumpets will start, there's a two-day leeway, 20 to 22nd of September. If you count those two dates, the distance between those two dates, anyone want to guess the distance between those two dates? From the first lunar eclipse, blood moon, to the Feast of Trumpets 2017, there are, you know this number, Isaac Newton cared about it, lots of other godly people tried to calculate it, 1,260 days. I'm not making this up. You punch it in the calculator. This is written in the skies. If you want a sign, this is not religious. This is not bogus. This is not something made up. This was pre-planned when God put the stars into orbit. This was pre-planned. so that it would spell out 1,260 days, a number we've seen many times. Revelation 12, a woman fled into the wilderness where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. And again, I think those would be repetitive. So you say, why does it appear there? Because I think it's the first set. Then there'll be another set. Then there'll be another set. All right? So now, take the distance from the woman in the sky. Now, the woman in the sky, she's got all these signs. If you do 8 months from the Feast of Trumpets, which is possibly can start on the 20th of September, 8 months, come on, count it. Where does it go to? Eight for the number of a new beginning? Very uncanny, a very interesting date. All of you should know. 8 months earlier from that date, the new president takes office, 20th of January, 2017.
Okay, those are some interesting connections. What do you have to say there?
So you'll notice that at the beginning of the bite, and if you missed it, I would recommend your listeners just go back and listen again. You're going to hear him say that it may actually be the rapture or the general resurrection of the dead that is supposed to be taking place tomorrow. But he's not setting a date, but he's creating an expectation that something might happen, but it doesn't have to happen. And of course, you know, pull out your prophetic slide ruler and start baffling them with all of these different dates and numbers and stuff like that. And he sounds like he's the smartest guy in the room. But I remind you that Jesus said nobody knows the day or the hour. And so he's trying to give us the day or hour without committing to the day or hour. And this is what these guys have been doing, creating this anticipation without actually saying for sure this is the date. But, oh, man, it's so much of a coincidence. I mean, look at this. The great sign is appearing, and it's 1,260 days since the last blood moon thingy. So there, that'd be true. Wow, what a distraction.
You've got one more example for us.
Yes, and this is the very famous prophetic YouTube guy, Scott Clark. And notice again, he is creating anticipation that this could literally be the rapture tomorrow.
And then I start talking about end times and New World Order, and then that dovetailed into end times. And then I'm like, I'm going to just start telling people how I think Bible prophecy works. And then it just started to grow. And about that time, 2008 was when Mark Biltz released on Prophecy in the News with Gary Stearman. He sat down in J.R. Church that, you know, look at this pattern of blood moon, signs in the heavens, Joel 2:31. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord, the tribulation period. And look at how massive this pattern is. That was just so fascinating. I was trying to figure out, you know, how close are we? Is this the rapture? Is this the tribulation period? And I used to make timelines and things, always trying to figure out where are we in time. And I remember I was in a forum online, and people were looking at these signs in the heavens, and somebody had posted what they thought was the Revelation 12 sign. So we've got Virgo here. It says that a great sign was seen in the Shamayim. I took that from the Holy Scripture. Shamayim is plural for heavens, Hebrew. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And being pregnant, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. That's the first two verses there. Back then, they didn't have telescopes. They just saw the astronomers or the sky watchers back then, like the wise men who knew. They were wise enough to realize to look to the heavens to find out when the Messiah was going to be born. There's nothing wrong with doing this if you do it biblically. This is not zodiac astrology, satanic stuff. God already created this stuff. Genesis 1:14, he put the lights in the skies. Right? The sun governs the day. The moon governs the night. And he put them for signs. The first page of the Bible. And for seasons, but that word seasons is moedim in the Hebrew, which means appointments on God's calendar. I'm not telling you that this is the rapture, but because, you know, we have to be careful with our words. And I'm not trying to be a date setter, and I don't want everybody to put their eggs all in one basket or anything like that. But this is fascinating because of what's in the narrative of the text.
Chris, I noticed here at the end again, a lot of hedging of bets, because how often do these guys get it wrong? And then, of course, they're applauding audiences completely forget that they got it wrong, but they seem to be aware of the fact that they're probably going to get this one wrong. What are your thoughts?
I mean, number one, this is why I've survived 12 apocalypses so far, because these guys are just awful at their date setting. And over and again, they create these anticipations and expectations that, you know, this is supposed to happen and it never happens. And I find this to be a complete distraction. I mean, my question for Scott Clark and you know, Sia Kalanti and other guys who have bought into all of this is, how many people have they brought to penitent faith in Christ by proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins? You know, God then regenerating them through the means of grace through his word, and then discipled them in sound biblical doctrine. You're going to note this one thing that is like universal amongst all of these guys. They major in the absurd, and when it comes to actually making disciples of all nations, none of them are doing it. Not one of them. They're all off on some bizarre prophetic tangents, and all of this is a distraction. And we as Christians have been told by Christ ahead of time, no one knows the day or the hour. We've got something that we really need to be doing, and these guys aren't doing it. And yet everyone's trying to crack the eschatological code of the book of Revelation, and nobody seems to have done it yet.
Could it possibly be, with about 30 seconds here, Chris, that what Jesus said is actually true, that his return will catch everyone by surprise, but his church, in constant expectation of his return, while surprised, at least in a human sense, will be ready and waiting? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we don't know the exact moment when Jesus is going to return. It could be tomorrow. It could be 3,000 years from now. And we're not to trouble ourselves with it. You know, one of these days we're going to wake up and it's like, whoa, there's Jesus, you know? And that's kind of how it's supposed to go down. And of course, Jesus has told us ahead of time what to expect the world to be like at that time, so that we're not caught off guard, and that, you know, and so that we continue to keep our hope and trust in him during the time of Satan's little season. But, you know, apart from that, we're just to keep busy and preach Christ and him crucified for our sins and disciple people in sound doctrine.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to begin a series with Pastor Paul McCain on the past, present, and future of confessional Lutheranism. We'll talk with Dr. Carl Fakancher about the authority of Jesus being challenged. We'll discuss the vocation of singleness with Kelly Schumacher. And we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Elijah taken to heaven. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.